Let's stand and join in singing the call to worship. The tomb is empty. Standing, please.
Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church this beautiful Easter morning. Thank you, Lord, for the pretty weather this weekend. If y'all would look in your bulletins with me, we've got some announcements listed and some others to add, so might get your pen handy if you're interested. And also just a reminder, in the backs of the pews in front of you, we do have some visitors slip. So if anyone's visiting today and would like to give us your information, we can follow up with you later this week, especially if you enjoyed your visit. But you can put those in the offering plate up front or on your way out this morning. So let's see. So there's a finance committee meeting 2 Mondays from now. That's April 12th at 5:30 p.m. There is a pastor search committee meeting this coming Tuesday at 6:30. So that's one that's not in your bulletin. Pastor Search Committee, this coming Tuesday, having a meeting at 6:30. The nursery is open, and it's just past the church offices on the walkway. There's two doors on your right, just past the church offices. Let's see. All right, Children's Church plans to resume on April 25th, so very soon. In order to make this mission possible, we'd still need volunteers. Nancy Tart is organizing, so if anyone has interest in volunteering for Sunday morning worship, Children's Church, please talk to Nancy Tart. Like I say, volunteers are greatly needed there, but we want to get this ministry going again. So Walter went and talked earlier this week to the lady who directs the CUOC, food collection and distribution for Lee County. And, you know, we collect once a month and then take, you know, trying to provide some donations that can help out folks in our community who do desperately need food. Well, he was asking, are there specific things that we might need, not just, you know, everybody go grab some cans of beans and pasta and that type of stuff. So if y'all think about it, some specific stuff that they really need are cereals, like breakfast cereals, and peanut butter and jelly. And they sound kind of simple, but those might be items that are often overlooked because they might cost a couple dollars more. So in the future, if y'all think about it, at least for the next couple months, cereal and peanut butter and jelly would be some helpful items for the CUOC food collection. And Walter's going to try to follow up with the director and see in the future if there's any changes to that. You do see... have the Annie Armstrong Easter offering today. You can make a mark on your offering this morning if you'd like to give to that. That's a missions offering. And all right, and the spring plate sale is going to be May 21st. And Kay Holt has raffle tickets as well as food plate tickets. available today. So you can see Kay after the service if you'd like to look into that. Is there anything else I might have missed? Sounds good. If y'all would, please bow with me in prayer. Lord, we do thank you again for today and for all that you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us out to your house this morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather, Lord. And just ask, Lord, that this morning we'd have a chance to sing and sing your praises, Lord, and get our hearts in the right place, Lord, for worship and for listening to what you've got to put on our hearts this morning, Lord. Ask that you would open up our minds and our hearts to hear a message presented through Travis this morning. And just bless us, Lord, as we go from this place this week. Things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn in your hymn books to 170, Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks. And we're going to sing the first verse and the fourth verses. Standing.
For sinners, the ransom from heaven. Good morning. Good to see so many here this morning on this resurrection morning, and certainly glad to see our missionaries Matt and Kristen and Eli Ward with us this morning. We're glad to have them with us. This morning, our message comes to us from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 1. And the title of our message today is The Greatest Story Ever Told. And I'll begin reading Luke chapter 24 in just a moment. Pain, doubt, disappointment. Too often we find ourselves struggling with these things, do we not? To one degree or another, I'm sure we've all faced moments when the world just seemed to go dark, completely dark. We had no idea what would happen next or what we should do to fix or alleviate the situation in which we find ourselves. And on this glorious resurrection morning, church, as we will see in Luke's gospel, a group of women felt doubt and disappointment just as we often do in life. These women trudged on to do what needed to be done in life, despite their feelings and emotions. However, they were caught completely off guard and were joyfully surprised by what happened next. For Luke tells us, chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, while it was very early in the morning," that is, very early Sunday morning, "they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And the word seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But then Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, here in your presence this morning, we have gathered, Lord, on this glorious resurrection morning, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that you would just rain down from heaven, Lord, and speak to us and through me. Lord, just hide me behind your cross this morning as I deliver your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A family was watching a movie of the life of Jesus on television. Their 6-year-old daughter was so deeply moved as the movie realistically portrayed Jesus' crucifixion and death. Tears ran down the little girl's face as they took him from the cross and laid him in the barred tomb. She watched as the guard was placed outside the tomb, and then suddenly a big smile appeared on her face. She bounced up on the arm of the chair and with great anticipation said, "Now comes the good part." That's why we've come to church this morning, is it not? To celebrate the good part of Jesus' pilgrimage here on earth, to give thanks and to proclaim the greatest story ever told, Jesus Christ, victory over sin and death. The concept of the resurrection lies at the heart of our Christian faith, church. For the message of the gospel rests on the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The devil could not stop him. Sin could not beat him. Death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him. The greatest story ever told, church, is our Lord and Savior Christ is risen today. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today and forevermore. In a devotional entitled Easter, Bigger Than Christmas, Dr. Ray Pritchard writes, "In our society, there is two great religious holidays, Christmas and Easter. For most of us, Christmas is the bigger and greater season of the year. It's the time of year when we gather with family and friends to sing carols, decorate the tree, and exchange gifts. Christmas is the climax of the whole year. Easter, well, for most people, it's just another long weekend, another chance to get a few days away. Even Christians view Easter as a second-rate holiday. Somehow we've got things badly mixed up," he writes. "If Easter had not had happened, Christmas would have no meaning. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he really is just a misguided Jewish rabbi with delusions of glamour. If Easter is not true, then Christmas is only a story of an obscure baby born in an out-of-the-way village in a forgotten land some 2,000 years ago. It is Easter that gives Christmas its meaning. You want proof? In all of the New Testament, there is no major doctrinal point ever built upon the virgin birth of Christ. Not one. It is true. It did happen, but it's never discussed or mentioned. In fact, two Gospels don't even say anything about it. But the resurrection, well, that's a different story altogether. In every part of the New Testament, it comes up again and again. Read the sermons in Acts. When the first Christians preached, they didn't mention Bethlehem. They talked about the empty tomb. They never got over the fact that on Easter Sunday, when they went to the tomb, Jesus was gone. Easter is indeed a great celebration. However, that first Easter morning after Jesus' crucifixion was anything but a celebration for his disciples. It was the day of death, doubt, and disappointment. The disciples witnessed Jesus' excruciating death, and all they could do was grieve. Jesus died mere hours before the Sabbath began, and with sundown quickly approaching, all of Jesus' followers could do was wrap his body and place it in the tomb. When sundown came, darkness filled the night sky, and another kind of darkness filled their minds. The very one they had pinned all of their hopes and dreams on was dead. For some of Jesus' followers, a small group of women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, they had one more act of love left to complete before they returned to what life was to be like before they had met Jesus. And with the first rays of sun on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb with the spices to prepare Jesus' body for a proper burial. Now understand, church, that the burial ritual was typically carried out by women and would include washing the body and anointing it with oil. The body would be wrapped in strips of linen out of respect. These women had quite a task ahead of them, but as Mark 16:3-4 writes, they say among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Their question had been answered when they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. This first surprise for the women was met by a much bigger second surprise. Not only had the stone been rolled away, but the tomb was empty. There was no body in the tomb. These women were totally stoked. They had absolutely no idea what had happened. Going to the very place where Jesus was buried, not only to find the stone rolled away, but to find him missing from the tomb. Can you imagine being in their place, church? It takes your breath away, does it not? Now, those accounts of the first Easter morning are, in fact, a little jumbled, if you will. Each of the gospel writers gives us a little different perspective. And that's not surprising. After all, what we have is not a finely honed script, but eyewitness accounts. Anytime you turn on the news, when a breaking story happens, you can watch one channel, flip it to another, and you will get different eyewitness accounts. Such accounts are usually jumbled. We do know that Mary Magdalene was the first to the tomb. All of the gospel accounts agree on that fact, and they all agree as to what she found. The heavy stone had been rolled away. The grave was empty. Jesus was alive. Now understand, church, these women did not expect to find Jesus alive. They had forgotten about his resurrection promises and went to the tomb simply to finish anointing his body. But as Luke tells us in verse 4 that we read, suddenly two men appear to explain what these women could not. And then verse 6 tells us the greatest story ever told. "He is not here, for he has risen from the grave." That is to say, church, the very moment Jesus arose from the grave, he was alive and he lives forevermore. No doubt about it, his tomb was empty and is still empty today as we worship him some 2,000 years later. That alone changed everything for these women. Jesus is still alive, and that changes everything for each one of us here today as well. In those moments when despair and doubt rise, we can respond with faith, hope, and life because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has risen. While numerous attempts have been made to explain away the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, church, understand it cannot be explained away. We cannot explain away an empty tomb. Had Jesus' body been stolen, or if these women had merely gone to the wrong grave, the idea of the resurrection easily could be laid to rest simply by going to the right tomb or producing Jesus' dead body. But these women were not mistaken, and the disciples would not have faced persecution and death for a lie that Jesus was resurrected rather, than stolen and hidden away. If Luke had been trying to invent something that did not happen, he most likely would have made the first eyewitnesses to the empty tomb be some of the 12 apostles, some of the 12 men. Reason being, a woman's testimony at that time was not valid in court. But understand, church, Luke merely stuck to the facts. Jesus' tomb was empty, and these women were the first eyewitnesses to the tomb. The tomb was empty, but that should not have been a surprise to these women or any of the followers of Jesus, for he repeatedly announced his death long before anyone could see his arrest on the horizon. For back in Luke 18, verses 31 through 33, we read, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all these things which are written by the prophets concerning the man, Son of Man, will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. No one other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could have predicted his own resurrection. For Jesus' death was no unfortunate accident. Jesus came to earth on nothing more than a rescue mission of love that began with eternity. For Adam and Eve were to be God's image bearers, casting forth the glory of God through the earth. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, both sin and death were unleashed. However, God, who in his relentless love, launched a rescue mission. Through a man named Abram, the nation of Israel was brought into being. For Genesis 12:1-3 tells us the Lord spoke to Abram, saying, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And I will curse him who curses you, and then all of your families of the earth shall be blessed." Through Israel, the Messiah would fulfill God's promise of rescuing and blessing the world by reversing the curse of sin. For Romans 5:20-21 tells us, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our Lord and Savior no doubt came to earth to fulfill his Father's mission. He faithfully lived out God's command because humanity was incapable of doing so. As human beings, church, we are born with a sin nature because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. Much the same way we inherit characteristics and traits from our parents, our grandparents, and we also inherit a nature of sin from Adam and Eve. It is absolutely impossible for us to live a perfectly life according to God's commandments. Try as we may, we will slip and fall along the way. It's just simply part of who we are, and it's in our DNA. Because of our sin nature, church, we were separated from God, but Jesus Christ lived the perfect life for us. That is, Jesus Christ took our place on the cross at Calvary. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt that we could not pay. Make no mistake about it, church, Jesus Christ paid our debt on our behalf. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was in our place. That is to say, he willingly went to the cross at Calvary on our behalf. He had no sin of his own to pay for, but he died for our sins. For as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become righteousness of God in him." He did this so we would be eternally forgiven and our sin could be eternally forgotten. And as a result, church, we are eternally declared to be righteous in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For Jesus Christ alone defeated death for us. He conquered the grave. When God raised Jesus from the dead, death lost its power over us. For 2 Corinthians 4:14-15 tells us, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound for the glory of God." Jesus rose from the dead, and someday we will rise from the dead. Jesus Christ defeated death for us. Through faith in Him, church, we are united to Him eternally. Only God Himself could accomplish this, and in fact, He did. For in Romans 6, 1 through 11, we read, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For in the death that He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to your sin, but alive to Christ Jesus our Lord." Make no mistake about it, church. The Word of God is the gospel of the one and only risen Savior. There absolutely would be no gospel for sinners if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead. This is no doubt the greatest story ever told and tells us we are forgiven for our sins. The story of Easter indeed is the greatest story ever told if we are to make sense whatsoever of living. For Easter is important not only because of what it says about life beyond the grave, but what it says about life this side of the grave. If Jesus Christ lives, then life has meaning as well. There is hope even in the most difficult circumstances. Even when we feel we're at the end of our rope, we find a knot that we can hang on to, and that is Jesus Christ. We can overcome any fear we face because Jesus Christ defeated death for us. The greatest story ever told is Jesus Christ is our living hope. We are given a new birth into a living hope through His glorious resurrection. This alone, church, has given followers of Christ. This has given followers of Christ power over their circumstances for over 2,000 years. The same living hope is available to each and every one of us here today if we will receive it. Perhaps someone's here today and they're at the tomb of a dead relationship or dead hope and dreams. Life has been a severe disappointment to you. You tried to get your life together, but you have found nothing but failure after failure, frustration after frustration. You're about to give up. Friend, it is Easter Sunday. It's resurrection morning. Someone is speaking your name today, just as He spoke Mary's name that first Easter morning. Do you know who it is? It is the resurrected Jesus Christ. For 1 Peter 1 and 3 reminds us, "For God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Today, on Easter Sunday, more so than any other Sunday of the year, we celebrate new beginnings and new possibilities. That is, today we affirm our faith in God. We affirm our faith in Jesus Christ when we affirm our hope, our faith and hope without end and the greatest story ever told. The greatest news of Easter is death no longer has its grip on us. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is alive and well this resurrection morning. New life is available to everyone who calls on His name. Jesus Christ lives today. Is He living in you this morning? I pray that He is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this glorious day, Lord, that we come to celebrate, Lord, Your resurrection, Lord, and Your defeat over death. We pray that as we continue on in our invitation time, Lord, that You would just speak to hearts, Lord. We pray, Father God, if there be one in our midst that does not know You as our Lord and Savior this morning, they would not leave this building without calling on Your name and accepting You, Lord, and being forgiven of their sins, Lord, and defeating death over their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sherry's going to come and lead us in our invitational heaven because He lives. We invite you to come as the Lord leads this morning. If you're visiting with us and you sense the Lord leading you to join us here at Tramway, we would love to welcome you with open arms. You come as the Lord leads. Thank you.